So it's all right. The game started first quarter, a little bit of a hiccup, but we'll pick it up. We'll take care of things. Thank you again for being here today. And we are. I want you to know that today we kick off a series called I Am Jesus. Doesn't mean I am Jesus. It means that Jesus made some I am statements about himself. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. But I also want you to let you know that our classes, our adult classes on Sunday morning are going to be, their studies are going to go along with this too. So we invite you to not just come for the message, but to come to one of those of our services and join us in that part as well in our classes. We hope that you'll come back for that. Today, we start off this series, though, I Am Jesus. Now, earlier in our year, we looked at the gospel so that we could get to know Jesus a little bit better as we kicked off our year's theme of Connect. This series is similar to that because we're going to be in the book of John, which, by the way, if you aren't familiar with the scriptures and that maybe they're new to you, John is a great book to start with. It's a great starting point because you learn so much about not just the person of Jesus, but the Godhood of Jesus, sort of that overall picture that Jesus was there at the beginning. So I would encourage you to read that as well throughout the series. But we're going to look specifically, not just in the book of John, but at these statements he made, I am. Jesus said things like, in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Well, what does that mean? What did he mean when he said he was the bread of life? And what does that mean for us? Do we find our sustenance in Christ? He used, in John chapter 10, he said, I am the gate. And what did he mean by being the gate? And one we talked about earlier this year, I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. That's really where that theme really took off for us, this concept of as long as we are connected to Jesus, great things will happen, but on our own, not so much. What does it mean and that Jesus is the vine? But specifically, we're going to look at three more throughout the course of the rest of this series. I am the good shepherd. What did Jesus mean by that? And what does that say about us if we're the sheep? Also, he said, and that's in chapter 10. In chapter 8, he says, I'm the light of the world. And what does that signify to us? And what does that mean? And then the last one is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Big, huge statement that he made. By the way, these statements that Jesus made means that we can't just accept him as a good teacher who is at the peripheral of our life, there if we need to call on him, but not otherwise. No, when he makes these very profound statements, it's a call to discipleship. It's a call for us to follow and for him to be at the center of who we are, which, by the way, is where we find true meaning and purpose. It's not in our job. It's not in our relationships. It's not in so many other things that we spend time and energy on. It's in Jesus. He's our purpose. But today we're going to look at this particular statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Before I read that passage, though, I want to pray and ask God's blessing on today. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for those who have joined us to celebrate the resurrection. I pray, God, that you would speak to your children. I pray that you would speak through the power of your word, that we would be spiritually, mentally, emotionally focused and ready to hear from you. I know that there are those here that have had hard circumstances. I pray, God, that you would help them to see you through them and to find clarity as we look at this story today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So John chapter 11 is where we'll be today. If you'd like to turn there and join us either in your digital version or your old school version. But we're going to look at verse 25 first. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Now listen, we have hindsight and resurrection, we understand it. We believe it, those who have formed our lives around it. But today, in modern terms, we've never seen anything like somebody coming back from the dead. And listen, they didn't either. They had not seen that either during that time. There are those who are skeptics who can't deny that the person Jesus existed. And the evidence shows that these men that laid their lives on the line, that his contemporaries, did so because they fully believed. They weren't making this stuff up. They believed that he really did rise from the dead. And so their explanation is, well, he must not have really been dead. He must have been mostly dead, you know, like Princess Bride, mostly dead. That somehow the coolness of the tomb revived him, and it was all just a misunderstanding, you know. And I guess that in his weakened state, I don't know how he rolled the stone away, but whatever. We don't believe that. But in our day and age, I tried to think, well, what is the closest thing I've ever seen to resurrection? I don't know why this thought came to my mind, but I thought of Michael Douglas, the actor. Remember a few years ago, those pictures in the tabloids of how horrible he looked and how I thought that's the end, but somehow he came back from cancer, and that's how he looked before. I'm just kidding, that's his dad. I was just seeing if you're paying attention. All right. I got to have a little fun. I mean, it's a day of joy, right? But resurrection is something we've built our lives on. But remember, these guys had not witnessed anything like that. And so if you put yourself in their place, you can get a picture, if you will, of what it was like for them. But this particular story, the broader context is that he did not make this statement after he came out of the tomb. I mean, you would think so. It seems like that's where he would have, you know, like popped out, the sun's shining on him, and he's like, oh, I am the resurrection and the life. And you're like, I know, I get it, you know. But no, it actually took place before the cross even. Not long before it, but before it. And so many of his disciples, we'll talk about this, but they still didn't really understand what was happening. This actually takes place in the story of somebody else who rose from the dead, a guy by the name of Lazarus. So let's back up in chapter 11. Let's talk about that, verse 1. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. Bethany was really close to Jerusalem, and so Jesus was in that area. This isn't long before Palm Sunday and all that stuff. So the sisters, verse 3, sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. It's kind of a hint. It's not just saying, hey, Lord, Lazarus is sick. You know, they're not expecting Jesus to say, okay, I'll keep him in my prayers. They're trying to tell Jesus, hey, listen, you really love this guy. We need your help here. The one you love is sick. But it's interesting what takes place here. Jesus doesn't rush back right away to handle the situation. Listen, for those of you who are here today, like I said before, this is a day of smiles and joy and happiness. But I know that for some of you, on the inside, maybe you're not exactly feeling that way. Some of you may be like Mary and Martha were, and the one you love is sick. Maybe for some of you, a job that you loved is going away and you don't know what's going to be in its place, and so you're struggling. Maybe the marriage you dreamed of is not turning out as you hoped. Maybe a close friendship that you have with somebody is eroding, somebody that's important to you and special to you, and that's all going away. Maybe your child is making bad decisions and the principal has called you in to have a conversation. I'm not sure where you lie today, but I'll just bet that this, for some of you, today isn't quite as great as it is for others. Let's go on to verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness, speaking of Lazarus, will not end in death. The sickness will not end in death. No, he says, it is for what? God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. I don't know if this is kind of a little aside note that we're going to take here, but I don't know if you've realized that the circumstances that you go through can be a huge opportunity to bring glory to God, not just in your own life, but for those who are looking on. For those who may not be convinced of this story that has changed your life, this may be an opportunity to have the greatest testimony that you'll ever have with those around you, that God's Son may be glorified through it. I want you to see it in that way. So much of the time, we're at the center of our own stories. And I want you to know it's not about us. That's why we're here today. It's about Jesus. So let's just summarize the next few verses, if you will. Basically, what kind of takes place next is that Jesus doesn't come right away. He waits a couple of days, and then he says to his disciples, let's go back to Judea, which is in that area where Bethany is. Now, his disciples are like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, the Jews are wanting to kill us there. That's not a good area for us. How about our ministry should take place in the northern part? Maybe let's stick it around Galilee. Things were going pretty well for us there. Because they know that the kettle is heating up, if you will. Why go back? And Jesus says this, Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up. That's an interesting choice of words. I mean, obviously it's a metaphor that Lazarus is dead and Jesus is going to bring him back, but I think it's also saying to Jesus, it's like waking somebody up from sleep because he has the power to do that. So let's pick up there as we fill in some blanks in your notes in your bulletin about some ways that maybe we are a bit dead this morning, that some of the characters in the story fits them as well. Maybe we can identify, and hopefully we'll find some reassurance in what we see next. First of all, there's those who are here today, and you're dead in your doubts. You're dead in your doubts. And the character I'd like to use for that is Thomas. Now, if you don't know Thomas, the bigger picture is that he's known as, it's where we get the saying Doubting Thomas, because he's the one that doesn't believe Jesus came back from the dead. He believes that there was another plan that somehow didn't happen right. Jesus was supposed to be some mighty conqueror that ruled with an iron scepter, and he chose a different path, and he couldn't quite figure it out. He struggled in his faith. This particular passage, will give us some insight into that with Thomas. It says in verse 16, Thomas, also known as Didymus, you might know him by his rap name T. Diddy. Seeing if you're listening. Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now, some have interpreted that to mean that Thomas was kind of like Peter, that he was so misguided. He had faith maybe, but it was misguided in a way that he wanted Jesus to work, not in the way that Jesus was actually going to. Obviously, he didn't believe that Lazarus was going to come back to life. He's like, okay, he's going to die. Fine, let's die with him. I kind of think it's sarcasm. You know, fine, Jesus, you want to go back to where all these people are? Fine, let's just go. Let's just die with him. Either way, Thomas is not seeing the full picture here. Thomas is a person of doubt. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you struggle with doubt. Maybe you're afraid to even talk about it in front of others. Just curious today, let's just see. If you're here today and you've ever had spiritual doubts, raise your hand. If you've ever had spiritual doubts. That's quite a few of you. I see that there's some that don't. And so for this next part, you can just stop, polish your halos, and well, the rest of us will have a chat. Have you ever prayed and nothing happened, you know? And you're like, God, where are you? Why are things happening like they are? Maybe you're a person who, you're here as a guest today, but you attended more regularly as a child. You believed, but somehow along the way, you've lost your faith. Maybe it was in college. College can be a challenging place. If you're here and you're a young person, I'm just telling you, now's a great time to cement your faith and know why you believe what you believe, because there are those who want to destroy that faith. Maybe some bad things happened to you along the way, some circumstances, the loss of a loved one, things didn't turn out like you had hoped, and so that's brought doubt into your life. Maybe, like Thomas, you're dead in your doubt. Let's go on. Some of you here are just simply dead in your discouragement. Maybe it's not reached a point of doubt, but you're just discouraged. And for that, we want to take a look at the person of Mary. It says in verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. You know, Mary's usually the good guy when we talk about these characters from the scripture. She's the one that sits at Jesus' feet during the meal, but here, evidently, she thought Jesus wasn't going to be able to do anything. She's not in any hurry. It's too late. Lazarus is dead. Perhaps she's a bit discouraged. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've thought, you know what, I'm always going to be depressed and there's no hope. I'm never going to have a good marriage. It's always going to be a struggle. Or I'll always fail as a parent. Always let people down. Maybe you think that there's nobody really out there who will love you. Maybe you think that you're in a dead-end job and you'll always be in a dead-end job, or a dream that you had is dead. Maybe you're simply discouraged, and it's bringing about a bit of death, spiritually speaking, in your life. For some of you, perhaps you're dead in the delay, just the waiting. Waiting can wear on a person. You know, we know Jesus was dead for 3 days, but the scriptures tell us in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. It's an interesting choice that Jesus made to wait 4 days here, because the Jews then, and like the Jews now, believe that after a person dies, that the soul hangs around for about 3 days. But the fourth day, the soul is like, okay, this isn't going anywhere. Sayonara, I'm out of here. It's like Jesus saying, look, I just want you to know, he's not mostly dead, he's dead. As a matter of fact, later in the text, it says in verse 39, this is one place where I like the King James better, because it says, Martha says about her brother Lazarus, "Lord, he stinketh." I mean, isn't that a word we should bring back in the language? That's a cool word. Like, you know, you coming in after football practice, your kid, and you're like, "Man, what stinketh? That is bad. That doesn't just stink. That stinketh." Anyway, so he's not just mostly dead. He's for sure dead. Jesus wants to make a point to those who believe this thing about the soul. He's in fact dead. Verse 21, "Lord," Martha said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Dead in the delay. Maybe you've hoped for a child that just never came. Or you wanted to be married and that's not happened. Or you prayed for a loved one that just hasn't gotten any better. You've hoped for some kind of healing that hasn't taken place. Maybe like me, when I was a young person, my dad, who he disowned me, but he also disowned God. And so I prayed, "God, bring him back, not just to me, but to you." And as I got older, I prayed less and less because I sort of got lost in the delay. You start to think that maybe hope isn't there anymore. It's only been in the last few years that God has reminded me to renew that hope, as I've seen some things in my dad as an adult, years and years after the fact. And so I want you to know this. God's delays are not God's denials. Just because God might be wanting to teach you some things through the delay or somebody else doesn't mean that God says no. Verse 22. "But I know that even now," the text says, "God will give you whatever you ask," even now. Think about what it would have been like. You know, when we talk about these events, Easter's, I guess, the most joyous of the Good Friday, Palm Sunday, all those things that we sort of celebrate around this time. The resurrection's at the top of the list. But even like Good Friday, we call it Good Friday because we have the privilege of hindsight, don't we? We sort of humbly accept it and we feel good about the cross only because of what takes place a few days later in the resurrection. Hindsight is always 20/20, you know what I mean? But man, put yourself in the position of these guys on Saturday. They devoted 3 years of their life to following Jesus. They believed with everything that he was going to come in and set up his kingdom. And now here he is dead. He dies Friday. Saturday is happening. Nothing's taking place. You don't think that they were a bit discouraged? You don't think those fishermen were thinking, "I guess I'm going to have to go back to being a fisherman again"? Or the tax collector, "Man, I hated that job, but it looks like I'm going to have to take it back up again." Or the zealot. This had to be a tough, tough time in their lives. But I want you to know, one day changes everything. See, I believe that's why many of you are here. Some of you, maybe you got drugged here by somebody in your family. I get it. But I'll bet that there's a part of you that there's an ounce of belief somewhere in your mind that one day can change everything. That loneliness can give way to the comforter. That those of you who are living in confusion can find peace through the Prince of Peace. Those of you who are struggling financially can find hope in the great provider, Jehovah Jireh. Those who are from broken families can somehow put pieces back together again by the one who heals. The mistakes you made can be left in the past, and that you can be a new creation. That life can matter again. That those who are cold and callous toward God, that God can take that heart of stone and replace it with the heart of flesh again. That dead can, in fact, be brought back to life. That one day can change everything. But it's more than that. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She, like so many of the disciples, they did not understand. Verse 25, Jesus says these words. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You see, those words that Jesus said on that day around 2,000 years ago, they just continue to echo throughout the eons of time. And that question is asked of us today. Do you believe it? That's the real question, isn't it? This is where so many people's faith takes a real turn in their life, where a line is drawn in the sand and we're faced with the fact of the person of Jesus Christ. Do we really believe that this stuff happened? Because if it did, it changes everything. There's more to my life than this job that I work or this car that I get or this house that I live in or this bank account that I've set up or this retirement account or this little kingdom that I've built for myself. There's more to it. But I want you to know something. The resurrection is not an event. It's a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Because it's not just that one day changes everything, but it's one man that changes everything. And folks, that's why there's this call for us to connect to the person of Jesus, because the resurrection is found in him. Jesus told them to take away the stone in this story of Lazarus. And I like that because, you know, Jesus was Jesus. He could have used, you know, done that force thing where like he's like, whoop, and the stone just moves out of the way. But he used people who were connected to him to bring about a miracle. And I like that because those of you who have experienced the miracles of Jesus in your own life, that you've been made a new creation, God calls us to participate in the healing and the miracle of somebody else. Verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Because that's just a phrase you can't say in a whisper, right? Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. There could be no doubt this guy had been dead. You know, in the story of Lazarus, Jesus told his disciples to remove the stone, but in his own story, he takes the stone away himself. And for those of you who are here today and you're not even strong enough to move the stone, you need to know that Jesus moved it for you. And he walked out of the tomb. And that the same voice that called Lazarus out of his tomb is calling out you to come out. Out of your doubts, out of your discouragement, out of the delay, and to find your faith and your life in him. And I believe that if my God can defeat death, then he can do anything. Do you believe that? Ask the praise team to come forward. I don't know what your Saturday was like. I don't know, figuratively speaking, what your Saturday is like. What may be going on in your life that seems insurmountable and you just can't see any ray of light at all. You don't know what's happening or what the solution is. And it may even seem like the story has been written and sealed, end of story, done, and it's a tragedy. Because that's exactly what it seemed like to them. Everything they'd hoped for, done. How do you beat that? But today is another day. Today is testimony to us that the one who brought himself back from the dead so that God would be glorified can do the very same thing in your life so that he can be glorified. He doesn't always promise us that healing looks like we think it should look because there's always a bigger story than us. But we are promised that one day we too will be resurrected. That even though we may die, we may live. So once again, that question to them, that question to us, do you believe this? One last time, I want to read this passage. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Will you stand with us today? We're going to close our time out together and we're going to sing one more time that God may be glorified. I want you to lift his words up to him. But I also want you to know that if you're here today and you need this hope that we speak about, that we've built our lives on, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Let's sing.